Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Following me here is a synonym for believing in Jesus, receiving Christ. He who becomes a Christian, in other words. That's what Jesus is saying. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Now, we're talking about the influence of Christianity upon the world, but remember, the reason Christianity has influenced the world is because Christ has influenced individuals.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on John chapter 8, verse 12, in a message titled, The Light of the World. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Now, we take it for granted that life is sacred. That's something that we all believe in. When somebody is murdered, we see that as a great tragedy. We see that as an atrocity. We see that as a horrible thing. But you know, that has not been the case historically. We talk about the Romans and the Greeks being civilized. They were anything but civilized in many areas. They were very, very barbaric. And in this particular book, he talks about the practices of the Greeks and of the Romans. One of the major practices was infanticide. Infanticide is the killing of unwanted children. And this was a common practice among the Greeks and the Romans. They would take their little children. If the child was weak or sickly or deformed in any way, or a financial burden possibly, or anything like that, they would take the child and they would kill it. They also practiced abortion. There's a lot of writing amongst the Romans concerning abortion. And the women in those days were able to have abortions through taking certain potions. And an interesting thing I found out, something that I hadn't known before, the Greek word pharmakia, which is translated sorcery or witchcraft in our New Testament, which refers to potions that were used in relation to sorcery and witchcraft, that word is connected constantly in Roman writing with abortion, because the women would drink potions that would abort the child. And so Roman writers and early Christian writers connected those two things together. Infanticide was a common practice. Abortion was a common practice. The abandonment of children was a common practice. They would have places in the city of Rome that people would just come and drop their children off. They would be left to be cared for by whoever would care for them. And then we think also of the gladiatorial games. Do you know how many thousands of people lost their lives in the arenas, in the gladiatorial games? Now, as barbaric as we've become, you know, we've got the ultimate fighting and all of that stuff. I mean, that's still light years away from what was going on in the arenas in Rome. You see, until the gospel came and impacted the Roman culture, these were the common practices amongst the Romans. So the sanctification of human life was something that was the direct result of Christianity's influence upon the Roman culture, and from that point until today. Christianity elevates sexual morality is the title of another chapter. And in this chapter, he talks about the immoral practices of the Greeks and the Romans and how it was Christianity that changed all of that. Women receive freedom and dignity. The poor feminist ladies, I'll tell you, they've been duped. They bought into an absolute lie in thinking that somehow Christianity is an oppressor of women. There couldn't be anything further from the truth. Women receive freedom and dignity. Charity and compassion, their Christian connection, is another chapter title. Hospitals and health care, their Christian roots. Again, we take for granted the hospitals and the health care that we receive. But you know, practically any hospital you can go to, it's St. Joseph's or St. Jude's or Hoag Memorial Presbyterian Hospital or this or that Lutheran hospital or whatever. What does that tell you? It tells you that Christians were the ones who originally founded these hospitals. Christianity's imprint on education. You know, it's a fact that atheists don't really start schools. They like to take them over, but they don't start them. You think of the atheistic influence in universities like Harvard and Yale and Princeton and these places. I was at Princeton last year. I was doing a conference in Princeton, New Jersey, and I went and walked the campus of Princeton University. And it is absolutely astounding because, you know, of course, there's all kinds of atheistic nonsense coming out of these universities, but you can't escape it. You're walking around the campus. There's plaques with scriptures. There's some of the great preachers of that era, Jonathan Edwards and people like that. There's this testimony in stone to how these educational institutions began. John Harvard began what we know today as Harvard University in order to train men to teach the Bible. You see, again, we take so much of this stuff for granted. Another chapter, labor and economic freedom dignified. So many benefits that have come to the workers came through, again, the influence of Christians upon government. Science, its Christian connections. We are living largely with an atheistic scientific community today, but all of the founding fathers of modern science were either theist, believing that there was a God, or they were actually Christians. Or some of them, of course, would have been Jews as well. Liberty and justice for all, that whole idea is rooted in Christianity, and slavery abolished, a Christian achievement. That's the last title there in those chapter titles. Slavery abolished, a Christian achievement. It was Christians who abolished slavery. It wasn't the United Nations. They don't give a hoot about slavery. It's utter nonsense. They sit there and talk about their great care and compassion for people. There's slavery all over the world. There are people all over the world that are being oppressed. And they don't do anything about it. They like to talk about it. They like to talk about how terrible it is or was in particular, especially in the United States, and it was terrible. But there's plenty of modern day slavery going on, and they don't do a thing. They don't lift a finger. And what you see, even to this very day, in places like Darfur in Sudan, or in the area of the southern Sudan, or in South America or Central America, or you know, places like Brazil where they have these street children and all of this, who do you find taking care of these people? Who do you find reaching out to them? You know who you find? You find Christians. They're the ones who are doing it. What are they doing? They're reflecting the Lord Jesus and his heart, his love, his compassion. And they are perpetuating his influence, he being the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And wherever the gospel has come, light has come with it. Think of those native peoples in the South Pacific who were cannibals, who were headhunters, each tribe divided up and fighting against each other and killing one another and eating one another and those things. It was missionaries who risked their lives going in to take the gospel to these people. And you have these philanthropists today and you have these sociologists and all these people who are ranting all the time about how Christians went in and ruined these beautiful cultures, how they went in and messed up these wonderful living conditions. The people were living in paradise and, oh, the Christians went in and spoiled it. They were just having a great old time running around naked and Christians went in there and made them put on clothes and, oh, how horrible that they would do such a thing. But you know, when you look and see what was really going on, it was a far cry from paradise. Killing each other, raping, murdering, eating. I mean, you know, that's literally the things that were happening. But it was the Christians who went in and risked their lives and gave their lives. Some of them became victims. of the very cannibals they sought to reach for the gospel. They gave up their lives and became their dinner, but the next missionaries that came through had greater success and ended up leading many of them to Christ. And so these are the facts, the great influence of Jesus upon not just Western culture, but upon all of the world. Because wherever the gospel has gone in its true form, wherever the gospel has gone in its true form, you find pockets of light. You find pockets of hope. You find behavioral patterns and habits and traditions that were detrimental to life and to the well-being of people. You find that those things are altered. They're changed. In India, among the Hindus, when Amy Carmichael went in, she spent her whole life rescuing young girls from temple prostitution. And she was influential in getting laws changed that were giving permission for women to be burned upon their husbands' graves. And it was the influence of Christians upon that culture that turned those kinds of things around. And we could go on and on and on. I recommend the book, by the way, How Christianity Changed the World. Alvin J. Schmidt is the author. It's a fantastic book if you want to get into some of the details of the things that we're talking about here tonight. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, he then says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, shall not continue in the darkness. You see, again, as I mentioned earlier, the implication is clear. Men are in darkness apart from Christ. They're in spiritual darkness. They're in moral darkness. But he who follows me or believes on me, following me here is a synonym for believing in Jesus, receiving Christ. He who becomes a Christian, in other words, that's what Jesus is saying. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Now, we're talking about the influence of Christianity upon the world, but remember, the reason Christianity has influenced the world is because Christ has influenced individuals. This isn't some, you know, political system or some philosophical system that you just go implement into a culture somewhere and it turns the culture into a wonderful place. That's not what we're talking about. There is no such thing. The Marxists thought that that would be what would happen when they applied their theories to the various cultures that they got power in. They sought to bring in utopia. They believed that they could create paradise on earth. What did they end up creating? They created the exact opposite of what they thought they were going to create. It's amazing. But you see, Jesus, he impacts the individual life. He changes men's hearts. He turns them into different people. He turns them into people like himself who love and who are compassionate and who are selfless and who want to give themselves in service for others. That's how the influence of Christianity has spread and impacted the world, because Jesus has touched and still is touching one life at a time. And what is he doing? He's bringing people out of darkness. He's bringing people out of darkness. You know, years ago, I've read this many times, and so I'm pretty sure it actually did happen. There is a place in London called Speaker's Corner. I've been there many times. And over the years, it's been a place where people have gone and get up on their soapbox, and they speak about whatever they are passionate about. And for many, many years, it was a place where people preached the gospel. People still preach the gospel today. For the past 15 or so years, it's been dominated by radical Islamists, and they preach Islam there. But years and years ago, back in the early 20th century in Britain, when communism was gaining a foothold all over that region, there was a rally at Speaker's Corner on a particular day, And the communists were there, and they were making all of these grandiose promises that if Britain would embrace Marxism, then these would be the benefits. And one of the things that they stated was that they would put a new suit on every man in Britain. The Christian preacher got up afterward, and I love his response to their promise. They promised to put a new suit on every man in Britain. The Christian said, "We promise to put a new man in every suit in Britain." That's a better deal, I think. You can have a new suit, but if you got a rotten guy in it, it doesn't do any good. And so that's what Jesus Christ does. He changes the hearts of people. He touches a person in their heart, and he draws them out of the darkness. And how we've seen that over and over and over again. People living in darkness. The darkness of all sorts of sin. And the darkness that brings destruction to lives personally, to families, to communities. And we look at the world that we're living in tonight, and what's the problem? The world is steeped in darkness. And all you have to do is just watch the news. It is unbelievable, the stuff that's going on today. And you know, the thing that I think is just so amazing is that the only real solution, I've been watching the news this week and have seen these senseless murders taking place, these drive-by killings. These young people being killed. Last night I saw on the news that two infants were shot. Two infants. And you look at this and you think, well, you know, what kind of insanity is this? How do we deal with this? And of course, the gospel is the answer. Christians have the answer. But you know, if the Christians mobilized and decided to go into a community and try to do something about it, you would get all kinds of government agencies saying, no, don't, we don't want to do that. We can't bring religion in here. Separation of church and state. No, we don't want these people to get religion. What are they thinking? Their solutions obviously don't work because they've been applying them for decades and they haven't done anything. Things have gone from bad to worse. The answer to these things is the gospel. Because the problem is darkness. People are in darkness. And they need to come out of the darkness. They need to come into the light. But people continue to just follow on with the, you know, philosophies and theories and things that can never help them, can never deliver them. It's the blind leading the blind. Where are they going to go? They're going to fall into a ditch. Walking in darkness. What happens to people if they walk in the darkness without a light? They trip, they stumble, they fall into a pit. But Jesus says, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness." That is the wonderful promise that we have tonight. If we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but they shall have the light of life. Having the light of life. Oh, have you ever been in a dark, dark situation, literally physical darkness? You know how that is, where you can't see a thing. You can't see anything even a few inches in front of you. That is a frightening kind of situation to be in. And oh, how thankful you are when somebody suddenly comes up with maybe a little flashlight or something just to have a little bit of light to get some idea of where you're going or what you're doing. Well, Jesus promises for those who follow him, those who believe in him, that we will have the light of life. We have a built-in light. It's him. And he comes and takes up residence in our life. That's why Jesus would say to his followers, on another occasion, he would say to them, "You are the light of the world." He says, "I am the light of the world," but he says, "You are the light of the world." And that is because as he shines upon us, we are reflecting his glory to the world around us. But this promise is a wonderful promise. It's a twofold promise that he's going to bring us out of the darkness, we're not going to remain in it. And that not only is he going to take us out of the darkness, but he's going to give us the light of life. Now, the world is a dark place, as we've mentioned, and as you well know. How do we navigate this world? How do we make our way through this dark world? You need a light, and that light is Jesus Christ. And when he comes into a person's life, as we've said, he takes you out of darkness. He changes your life, and then he gives you the light of life. So now you know where you're going. You know how to walk. You know how to live. You know what to avoid. You know the things that are dangerous. You know the things that are detrimental. You know the things that are destructive, deadly. You know those things because you've got that light in you. And so you can walk through this dark world, but you're not stumbling. You're not being tripped up. You're not falling into a ditch or into a pit, but people all around you are. But you're not, because you have the light of life. Now, the thing that is perplexing is to find Christians who, by their very nature, are not to be walking in darkness and are to have the light of life, to find Christians sort of, you know, out on a detour into the darkness and not shining the light, not utilizing the light of life. It's not that they don't have it, but, you know, it's as though some of them have just decided, you know, I don't really need this light right now. I think I'll turn it off. I think I'll just put it away for a time. I think I can navigate this myself. I think I can make it. I think I'm going to be okay. How do we have those kinds of situations? These are the puzzling things and the troubling things that have happened throughout the history of the church and still happen today. When we talk about the great influence of Christianity on the world, we can also talk about some of the negative impact that has occurred through people who claim to be Christians, claim to have the light, but yet evidently didn't really have it. Or if they did have it, they didn't shine it because they ended up in the darkness and actually creating more darkness, in a sense. But the promise is that we will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. That is a promise. That is an absolute certainty. That isn't something that just works for some. You know, sometimes you hear people say, well, I tried Jesus. I tried that Christian thing. It didn't work for me. People have told me that. If it didn't work for you, you didn't have it. That's the reality. You didn't really have it. You had maybe something that resembled it, but it was some sort of an imitation. You didn't really have it, because you can't have it and not have it work, because it is not an it. It is a him. It's he. It's God.
And now let's join Pastor Brian in the studio as he shares about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
I've read through a number of, you know, daily devotionals, a little thought for each day of the year. One of the great things about the Wisdom for Today devotional is it actually takes you all the way through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So you're going to make your journey from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 by the time you've gone through. Of course, you're not going to cover every verse, every chapter, but highlighted devotional thoughts from each book of the Bible.
Thanks, Pastor Brian, for stopping by the studio and sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book Wisdom for Today by Chuck Smith by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of Wisdom for Today, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Wisdom for Today devotional by Pastor Chuck that is sure to be one of your all-time devotional favorites. And it's also an excellent guide for reading the Bible in 1 year. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.